I'm Celeste Headlee. This is On Second Thought. The Nation first met Georgia author Cassie Beasley in 2015. That's with the release of her debut novel, Circus Mirandus. It hit the New York Times bestseller list. Beasley's books are targeted to middle schoolers, but her storytelling enjoys pretty wide appeal. She now has a new novel out. It's called Tumble and Blue. It comes out next week, and she joins us from our Savannah studio. Hi there.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. So every bio of you says you're just from rural Georgia. Where in rural Georgia are you from?
I'm from Claxton, Georgia. So it's about 50 miles west of Savannah, and I've lived there my whole life with my family. And it's really cool to be from a small town. I really like it.
And your family has a pecan farm?
Yes. Yeah, so my family farms, and we have a pecan orchard. And it's just a really wonderful place to grow up.
Why do you say that? What do you like about it?
You know, I'm sort of an introverted person. I really like to have a lot of time and space to myself, and that's something you can get really well when, you know, you grow up on a farm, and you can kind of, it's great for a writer as well, because you can kind of go off and be alone kind of in nature and have some time with your notebooks and your pens to just write and think and ponder new story ideas.
And, I mean, there must be something to what you say, because your sister is a writer as well, and she has her own book that came out.
Yeah, so Kate Beasley, my little sister, is a writer, and I'm super, super proud of her. She writes for middle grade readers as well. Her first book is called Gertie's Leap to Greatness, and it came out in October, and I carry a copy around with me pretty much everywhere to show it to people because I'm that proud.
Wait, you carry her book and not your own?
I carry both of them. I do carry both of them. But I think it's pretty natural to be really, really excited when something good happens for someone you care about. So
let's talk about Tumble and Blue, and there will be no spoilers here. But, you know, one of the big themes of this is, I guess, the clay feet of your idols, right? I mean, imagining
yes.
a hero that is not quite as everything you thought they would be. Where did the inspiration for that come from?
That's really based around Tumble's character. So she kind of came into the story after I had already started writing it. And she's a little girl. Her real name is Lily, who absolutely idolizes this infomercial star named Maximal Star, who sells self-help books about how to be a hero. And she spends most of the book thinking that he's just this really amazing person and she wants to be just like him. And I think it's a big growing moment for her when she realizes that, you know, maybe her hero all along has not been this amazing person she thought he was, and maybe she needs to be the hero herself, you know. And I think that's a big part of the book for her and my other main character, Blue, is realizing that if they want things to change, if they want their lives to get better, they're going to have to step up and be their own heroes.
Yeah, and it seems to me like another big theme is recognizing what your strengths and weaknesses really are, you know, accepting what you do well instead of trying to change who you are. Why is that a good message for middle schoolers?
A big theme in the book is fate. And, you know, I don't believe in fate or in being cursed, as Tumble and Blue are, in the way I present it in the book. But I think it's a really wonderful fantasy element to explore, because there are things in all of our lives that we can't really change about ourselves. And I think it's helpful to explore how people react to things in their lives that feel to them really inevitable. And what I love about Tumble and Blue is that neither one of them is really willing to give up on their dreams, no matter how many times people tell them, you know, you're cursed, you can't ever fix this, this is going to just be how your life is. They both keep trying. And I think that's a helpful message for you, no matter how old you are, that there is a value to continuing to reach for the things you really want, to continuing to strive towards something better for yourself.
So how much do you have to change, or are there things that you have to be aware of when you're writing for younger audiences? I mean, some of the issues in this book are quite, I think adults would say, wow, that's advanced. It's an advanced and nuanced concept for a middle schooler. There's things about trouble with family. There's things about, I guess, putting up with relatives. There's some scary parts. How do you decide what is suitable and what isn't?
So there are some scary parts. I mean, there is a magic alligator in the Okefenokee Swamp.
Yeah. An alligator,
kind of, sort of. But So for me, I think the big thing is to, you know, respect your reader. And I think that's important for all authors, but particularly for children's books authors. If you remember being a kid, the things that you worried about, sometimes adults treated them as though they were trivial, but to you, they were tremendously important. And so I think giving kids that respect and letting them know that, yes, you know, your problems really are valid is something I try to do in all my books. And so I really hope Tumble and Blue accomplishes that as well.
What was it, a help to you or a hindrance to be so successful with your first book?
Okay, so it's wonderful, wonderful, and I can't complain. Circus Mirandus was very successful. I love hearing from readers. I think there is something tough about writing your second book and having the knowledge in your head that there are a lot of people who are going to buy it because they liked your first book. And you have to let go of the idea that they should be exactly the same. You know, you want to write the new story. You want to do it justice in its own right and not be too worried about what people are going to think, you know, when they're comparing it to the first book. So just kind of getting in the right headspace for it was maybe a little tough.
We're speaking with Georgia author Casley Beasley. Her latest book is called Tumble and Blue. It's out next week. And as you just heard, she had a very successful debut novel called Circus Mirandus that hit a number of bestseller lists, including the New York Times bestseller list. How then do you get over that? I mean, it must come from fear, right? That
yes, a lot of writing fear. I'll let you know when I actually figure out how to get over it. So my strategy for writing Tumble and Blue was just to keep plugging away and keep working on making it the best book I could make it. It takes me about 2 years to write a book. So there's a lot of time where you're kind of in the trenches there and you just keep revising and you keep rewriting and you're trying to make this vision you have in your head come out on paper. And so far my strategy has been just to keep at it until I get it right.
How in your writing process, do you know how it will end before you start writing? In other words, are you one of those writers that outlines?
I do outline. I don't always stick to my outline. I tend to disobey it. But actually, so usually when I sit down to write a story, the end of the story is one of the very first things I know about it, which is kind of unusual. I have a really, really hard time coming up with great beginnings, but usually there's a scene that I have in mind where everything kind of comes to a wonderful conclusion and everyone has their, you know, they're happily ever after if that's what they're getting. And I'm writing towards that the whole time I'm writing. And it's like a reward when I finally get to the end and I get to write that scene that I've been looking forward to.
Does it surprise you sometimes what happens in the book when the story changes?
Yes, it does. Characters can really surprise you. So one of the things I'm always trying to do is make sure I'm being true to the character, make sure I'm writing them, you know, the reactions just as they would really be based on the character I've created. And so sometimes what happens is you've got a plot idea in mind, but the character just won't let you go there because it's not realistic for them. And so sometimes that takes you down, you know, a tangent you didn't expect, but it also is part of the magic of it. Those unexpected moments where you find something even better than what you had planned.
So in this book, there is a kind of a subtle, I guess, hint to young readers that they should maybe visit the Okefenokee Swamp.
I think they. So
you're a tour promoter.
So you know, my first book, Circus Mirandus, wasn't set in the South, and so I wanted to write this one from my own backyard. And it's actually been really cool to talk to some early readers who didn't realize that the Okefenokee was a real place. They gave me credit for making it up, so it's kind of cool to be able to introduce people from other parts of the world to, you know, a place that's really a natural wonder. And hopefully some people will go and visit the Okefenokee Swamp because they read this.
No.
And hopefully they won't make any deals with alligators.
I was about to say, no alligators. If you like fall into a sort of black hole, get out as soon as you can, right? I mean, that's...
Exactly, exactly. You might end up cursed if you make a deal with the wrong alligator.
So tell me about Georgia as a place to become a writer. And why do you think the South in particular is so well known for its novelists, for its fiction?
So for me, the thing that was really fun about writing a Southern story and being a Southern writer is that you do have a lot of... I don't know. I'm sure it's a thing in lots of places, but I think in the South in particular, you have a lot of family stories that get passed down. You have that element of, you know, shared narratives that are connected to a town or a specific place, and they feel sort of like legends and local myths. And so I kind of drew from that vibe when I was writing Tumble and Blue. The story about an alligator who lives in the swamp and curses your family for generations is not a story I ever heard, but it feels a lot like other stories I heard growing up. And so that was something really fun to draw from.
So are there people in your life that insist that they think you based a character on them?
Yes.
I kind of suspected that.
I think that's sort of unavoidable. When my first book, Circus Mirandas, came out, a lot of people thought they knew. So there's a really, really mean aunt character in the book, and a lot of people tried to guess who it was, but it wasn't based on anyone. If anything, she was the polar opposite of my own aunts. And so it's really interesting to hear them all start, like, you know, the whisper in your ear, like, oh, I know who that is. And you think, really? Because I don't. I just, like, made her up out of my own head. But that's one of the cool things about living in a small town. Everyone knows everybody, and they see if they can match things up to the book.
And I wonder what you think, if you have a responsibility to your listeners, just in terms of how you go about being a regular person, being Cassie Beasley, because we've seen so often where children's book authors, young people who write for young people especially, they get examined for what kind of role model they are. Do you feel that responsibility?
I think you always, I mean, I know I feel a responsibility to my readers to, you know, think about how they take things, to think about what they see. I do a lot of school visits as a children's author, where I visit elementary and middle schools and talk to the kids there, and they're a wonderful audience. I love writing for them so much. I have a couple of pen pals I've gotten who really love Circus Mirandas, and they sent me a letter. And when
like
I replied,
an actual
they sent me a
letter in an envelope.
I had a couple who sent me actual letters in envelopes. Most kids do email these days.
Yeah,
but so we exchange emails back and forth, and I think it's one of the most wonderful parts of being an author for me is that I do get to have that interaction with kids, and I do get to talk to them about the things that really matter to them. And kids these days are thinking big thoughts, and they're wondering about big things, so it's really an honor to write for them.
Okay, so then in the minute that we have left, have you already started the third book?
Yes, so I am working on more stories. It's another middle grade fantasy novel, and that's all I'm going to say for now, but I'm very excited about it.
You won't even tell us what kind of animal, if it's not an alligator.
So there are a lot of animals in this one.
Okay, that's as much as she's going to say.
I can't reveal it yet because it's a secret.
Okay, and we can expect the third one when? A couple years?
It'll be a couple years. I am slow. I am very slow, but it's because I'm trying to produce something really cool.
Well, we're not getting impatient, because the latest book, Tumble and Blue, is just coming out next week. There's already something new to read. Georgia author Cassie Beasley, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.